When it comes to anything that you're engaging with, what you're consuming at this point, especially when you're learning this knowledge, the question to sort of ask yourself and sort of pause before you engage with any of it is this going to lead to me becoming more coherent and thus the world becoming more coherent? Or is this going to lead to me becoming more chaotic and the world becoming more chaotic? Am I adding to coherence? Am I helping to build God's kingdom on earth? Or am I helping, whether unwittingly or wittingly, the satanic agenda in the process by what I'm engaging with and what I'm co-creating? So
yep.
I think it's so important. And like, I think a lot of people have adopted this belief, I'm just one person, what can I do? You can do so much more than you've ever been led to believe. One coherent person can have a dramatic impact on everyone around them just by virtue of their very beingness.
All right, welcome back. This is part two of my interview with Alec Zeck. And what an extraordinary individual who's joining us. We're talking about the intersection of consciousness and physical reality and much more. And also how the globalist controllers have managed to enslave and imprison people through psychic terrorism and many other means. His website is The Way Forward. We'll tell you about that later. He's got events coming up in Texas in April that are pretty amazing. Alec Zeck, welcome back. This is part two. Really enjoyed the part one discussion. As I hinted, I want to dig even deeper into these topics because it's time to reconstruct the simulation. We need to choose a better future together. So talk to us about that concept and why it's real.
Yeah, and we can choose a better future together. Like I really cannot stress enough how much we've been conditioned to outsource our power, our own agency, and abdicate our self-responsibility. And for many of us who may have never been exposed to these topics that we've been discussing so far in part one and now in this one, the lack of understanding of how your thought energy, your beliefs, thoughts, and feelings have a direct impact on your physiology and then possibly the nature of reality itself, for better and for worse. And so I think the level at which we've been bamboozled, let's say, it cannot be, is far more than we've ever been led to believe. So I want to share a little bit more about Veda's work just to sort of lend credence to that. And then some examples of possibly the placebo effect, but also what's called the Maharishi effect to sort of see how this sort of relates to, again, water of our bodies and then the nature of reality and our own physiology.
Please, go ahead. Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. Let me pull this up real quick. Okay. Can you see that full screen?
Yeah, I'm seeing it.
Okay. Awesome. So as I mentioned in part one, Veda works with water and let's just say other fluids. I don't know if she's worked with xylitol yet, so I'm really excited to link y'all up because I think you would have a lot to discuss and she'd be really interested to see some of your work. It blew me away, by the way. That was absolutely incredible. Just again, just reaffirms this. So When Veda cracks open what we would call pasture raised, since our agricultural systems are completely corrupt and we have to distinguish between free range and pasture raised. But when we crack open a pasture, or when Veda cracks open a pasture raised egg and freezes the albumen, which is the clear runny part of the egg, she finds what you see here on the left, this beautiful sort of flowery patterns. And she sees six common traits when she cracks open a pasture-raised egg and freezes the albumen. And again, this is an egg that is coming from a hen that was raised as hens are supposed to be raised. Living as a chicken is supposed to be living, right? Versus when she does the exact same thing with a caged egg, which is coming from hens that were pumped with hormones, antibiotics, under fluorescent lights, fed an unnatural diet, pumped with vaccines, under perpetual fight or flight, you can see the clear difference here on the right. That's a crystallography example of a caged egg that Veda has cracked open and frozen albumen. You see the clear difference between the two.
Absolutely. The loss of structure is really strong. And I just want to remind our audience that that structure is information, right? Mm-hmm. This is a really critical point in water. So when ice, in other words, liquid water is less structured than frozen or solid water, but in the freezing, structures form and shapes form. And so it's actually adding information when an object or a substance freezes. Information is added. Mm-hmm. And that's part of what you're showing. I just want to make sure people understand that.
No, that's helpful context. That's helpful context. And what's incredible, though, is so Veda has done this, I think, twice now, where she'll take one pasture-raised egg and surround it with 12 cage eggs in this orientation that you see on the far left of the screen. Now, in the middle here, she's taken a pasture-raised egg from the same batch, cracked it open, froze the albumin, and set it aside as a control. Likewise, she's taken a caged egg from the same batch of caged eggs, cracked it open, froze the albumin, set it aside as a control. So you can see the two examples, a negative and a positive control of what the pasture-raised eggs are supposed to look like, what the caged eggs are supposed to look like. And when she leaves the eggs in this orientation overnight, again, one pasture-raised egg surrounded by 12 caged eggs, and then cracks them open and freezes the albumin, this is what she finds. All of the caged eggs, just by being in proximity to the one pasture-raised egg, have now improved in their crystallography, visible to the naked eye. Again, on this far right here is what the caged eggs are supposed to look like. But after being in proximity to the one pasture-raised egg, this is what the caged eggs now look like. And here's a close-up of that middle row. So you see very clearly that just by being in proximity to the one pasture-raised egg, all of the caged eggs have now improved in their crystallography, visible to the naked eye. And Veda did this again and got the exact same results.
And importantly, again. See, this is so cool that you're showing this, because this shows, I call them via Rupert Sheldrake, morphic fields and morphic resonance. But this shows that they don't even have to touch each other, the eggs, right? They don't touch each other. So there's no physical mixing, obviously. This is purely information that is propagating or structure or what Rupert Sheldrake calls habits of nature.
Yeah.
And that also shows like one truther can uplift 12 people around them. You know, like one person telling the truth can have a positive impact for many people. It's the same thing.
Amen. And that's exactly where my mind goes, right? So when we accept this idea that there's quote unquote not enough people awake, that there's more of them than us, that they're way more powerful than us, we're just continuing to perpetuate that belief system. When in reality, what this is indicating, and what I'll share here in a little bit, as it pertains to human beings, because there's also evidence of this as it pertains to humans, because I could see where someone was like, well, what the heck does caged eggs and pasture-raised eggs have to do with us as human beings? I'll get to that. But the point is, one person that is coherent, that is embodying coherence in their beliefs, thoughts, feelings, words, and actions, just by virtue of their very existence, likely, I would say, definitely has an impact on other people around them. It's kind of like,
that's why the censorship focuses on those who have coherence.
100% on those who have solutions too. Because what you see on X and elsewhere, and I know you've experienced this yourself, I've definitely experienced it, it's pretty wild, is that the people who perpetuate the left-right nonsense, the people who perpetuate the necessity of being outraged 24/7, of being afraid 24/7, go ultra viral. The people who are focusing on solutions and also acknowledging all that stuff, because it is real, but the people who focus on solutions, and especially solutions at the individual level, because that's what it comes back to, they get censored.
That's right.
Why is that? Why would they want to censor that?
Exactly.
You really got to think about that.
Because they're playing, you know, energetic chess in a malicious way to try to block humans from sharing an uplifting. And I want to, there's something else really critical in all of this. In the egg experiments that you just showed, the other eggs didn't have to ask for help. So this is actually, you know, your brain, all of you watching, your brain is receiving information whether or not you want it. You are influenced by others and you are broadcasting. You are influencing others whether or not you try to, just by speaking. Even if you don't use the internet, just by speaking words and acting, behaving, you are influencing others. I mean, we need to, you know, modern science doesn't recognize any of this, Alec.
No.
There needs to be a complete renewal, a re-understanding of the nature of our reality.
Amen. Yeah, well said. I completely agree. And I would even take it a step further, and I'll share some examples here. It's not only by our spoken word and our actions. And I think most people can get with that, that your beliefs, thoughts, and feelings are what inform and sort of color your words and actions. And your words and actions have an impact on other people, whether you physically interact with them or not. Obviously, like ideas ultimately lead to people adopting belief systems for better and for worse, et cetera, that inform their own words and actions. But I would even take it a step further and say there's a strong indication that just our belief and thought and feeling alone might have an impact, again, not only on our own physiology, and I can give countless examples of the placebo effect, but also possibly on the nature of reality itself. So I'm going to share my screen real quick just to highlight some sort of examples of that. And I want to be clear here, as someone who speaks out about the pseudoscience of virology and no direct evidence that viruses exist or cause any illness whatsoever, what they're talking about with respect to a virus is a replication competent obligate intracellular parasite consisting of a proteinaceous coat surrounding a core of genetic material. So they're making a claim regarding a physical particle. When I'm talking about this and the likelihood, and I want to emphasize the likelihood that our beliefs, thoughts, and feelings have an impact on physical reality, cause and effect relationship possibly, I'm not talking about a physical particle. So it's sort of like a weird category error, because we can't isolate a thought. We can't
right.
isolate a feeling. I'm not talking about a physical thing, nor am I saying that there is a direct causal link. I want to be very clear here, because people will misrepresent what I'm saying. I'm saying that there is a strong likelihood that there is some causal aspect here, but I'm by no means asserting that there is a direct causal link. So with that as context, how does that pasture-raised egg, caged egg, thing that I mentioned earlier relate to us as human beings? So there's something that's known as the Maharishi effect. So this example occurred in Washington, D.C. in 2003. And so in the summer of 1993, I could be incorrect. It might've been 2003 or 1993, but in either case, in either 1993 or 2003, 4,000 individuals gathered in Washington, D.C. to meditate daily for nearly 2 months. And the purpose was to test whether focused collective intention could measurably reduce violent crime in the city. By the end of the trial, violent crime had dropped by 23% compared to projected rates, despite seasonal trends suggesting it should have increased. The effects scaled with the size of the meditation group, and statistical analyses ruled out all major external variables like weather, policing, and historical trends, policy changes, et cetera, et cetera. And here's what's incredible. Even accounting for all that, the p-value was 0.00000, however many zeros that is, too. And for those who are unfamiliar, a p-value of 0.05 or less indicates a strong statistical significance. So a very strong correlation in the data here. This right. p-value was off the charts low, meaning the statistical significance was incredible, meaning the odds of chance was near zero, meaning that the group doing transcendental meditation very likely had an effect on the crime rate dropping by nearly 23%, despite all trends pointing to the crime increasing in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just one of many examples of this. There's another one in Kansas City from 1975 through 1977, where crime dropped by nearly 30% compared to surrounding regions. And again, the p-value on that was 0.001. And then another example that I like to highlight, where crime dropped by 13.4% and it ended up being 40% below what standard projections had anticipated. And the point is, there are countless examples of this that I highly encourage people to look up, whether you want to use your AI that you've created, which I think is incredible, to help find legitimate research related to this. But I don't think it's exclusive to transcendental meditation. So these were examples of people doing transcendental meditation. I think the larger point here is that people are getting into a coherent state where their thoughts and feelings are aligned and they're giving perpetual focus to some intended outcome. And
100%.
Again, yeah, you go ahead.
Let me add, because I've spent a lot of time pondering this very issue, and I've come to the conclusion that leading a very healthy lifestyle with ultra clean foods, like, you know, here's my smoothie again today, And my whole company focuses on ultra clean foods. This is critical for brain spirit coherence.
Yep.
And that's why the society, they put fluoride in the water specifically to stop people from being able to co-create reality. They put people on junk foods and psychiatric medications specifically to create noise, sort of psychic noise in consciousness. And when you reject all of those things, you become a very powerful co-creator of reality. And I've experienced this numerous times, because I have like the cleanest diet of anybody I know, but I've just got a whiteboard. Everything that I draw on the whiteboard becomes reality. Everything. Every single thing I've drawn on it. The only time things don't come true is if I don't spend the time to draw them out on the board. And so everything you said, Alec, is 100% true. It's tracking with my experience, but people need to know this natural God-given ability exists in everyone, but it's been suppressed by the medications and the addictions and the alcohol and, you know, the junk food and the media and all that garbage, right? Does that make sense?
100%. I couldn't agree with you more. It's not only been suppressed, and that's the whole point, because the deeper why, like, why would they want to poison us? Why would they want to do these things? The deeper why is the interesting question. And it points to exactly what you're talking about, because they realize how powerful we are, unbeknownst to most of us, without us realizing it. Like, right. That's the deeper why. And I would say that it's more than just suppressing it. It's also hijacking it. And this is where, as quote unquote truthers or truth seekers, I think it would behoove of us to be incredibly mindful of this, because most of us do eat a more clean diet. Most of us do drink fluoride-free water. Most of us do move our body, spend more time in nature, et cetera, et cetera. So that means we're a more clear, for lack of a better term, channel. I don't like using a lot of the new age terminology. I just like to say that we're in a much better relationship to God and the divine, and that can flow through us better in a co-creative way. And so with that, if we're truthers who have adopted all of these better physical behaviors, but we're not mindful of what we're giving our thought energy to, we actually likely become vectors for helping to perpetuate the very narratives that we claim to oppose. So I think it's incredibly important that, yes, we're aware of what's going on. Yes, we speak out about what's going on, but we always come back to, okay, what can we do about it individually, aside from sharing our thoughts with other people, raising awareness, become as coherent as we possibly can. And if we have a large platform like this, like mine, sharing this message with other people, that more than anything, your individual coherence of belief, thought, feeling, words, and actions matters most. That's what matters.
100%, 100%. This is so cool. We have a lot to explore together and a lot more experiments to run that we can share. But I want to bring in one concept to share with you, because it's so relevant to this, which is different modes of thinking. Have you ever heard of system one versus system two thinking?
I'm not.
So this is based on the research of, some science guy. I'll have to look up his name. But system one thinking is a knee-jerk reaction. It's a rapid, quick response. Somebody says, you want to go get a hamburger? Yeah, let's go get hamburgers, you know. System two thinking, which is where Western civilization is currently stuck, is a deliberate analysis and slower thinking through the ramifications of your actions. So, like, do I want to go eat a hamburger? What's in the hamburger? Which restaurant? What's it made from? Probably no. Maybe we want to go get a free-range hamburger somewhere else. I've proposed something called system three thinking, which is, how do we alter the construct in our behavior? So basically Jedi level thinking, right? It's no longer, I'm going to answer your question. I'm going to use my physical body in the real world to achieve something. System three thinking is, how do we alter the world around us to create the outcome that we want? And there's a ton of different names for that, you know, co-creation, a bunch of new age terms for that, right?
Right.
But I call it system three thinking, which is basically realizing, like Neo in the Matrix, You can bend the rules of the construct. And that's real.
That's real. It's very real. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, everything that we've discussed, everything that you showed, I think it all points to exactly what you're getting at. Like, I just can't emphasize this enough. We are so much more powerful than we've been led to believe. And the parasitic class ultimately hijacks and suppresses that power against us, unbeknownst to us in most cases.
100%. 100%. Now, let me give out your website, The Way Forward. That's thewayfwrd.com. And that's where people can build community. They can find your podcasts, your shows, much more. Very cool episodes to check out here. Your mission, roadmap. But you've also got an event coming up here called confluenceevent.com. Can you tell us about this event?
Yeah, so it's kind of a cross between a music festival meets a conference, meets a farmer's market, meets a retreat all in one. And we're on our fourth year. We've had people like Veda Austin, Dr. Andy Kaufman, Dr. Amanda Vollmer, Dr. Diane Hennessy Powell from the Telepathy Tapes, Dr. Gerald Pollack speak in past editions. This year, it's April 23rd through the 27th, and we have Catherine Austin Fitz and a variety of other incredible speakers, musicians, workshop leaders. It's a multi-stage event, so there's always something going on, and there's camping options, glamping options, and it's a really incredible experience. This year, we're expecting over 1,100 people on site, which we're really excited for.
Wow. That sounds great.
Yeah, we've grown the event from having just over 100 our first edition to now having expecting 1,100 people on site. We only have 25% of our tickets left, which is a good sign for us because we're definitely on track to sell out.
And you've given a discount to our audience too, right?
Yes. So if you use code RANGER at checkout for confluenceevent.com, that'll give you 10% off your ticket. And we really hope to see you there. This is an event for those people who want a more coherent world and want to learn and explore topics that help themselves and help the world become more coherent.
See, that's the thing we get to, that's why I love your event. This is a time, you know, the two-party system has failed, completely failed. The old way of running our planet is a total disaster. We now have to co-create a stronger, better, more abundant and happier world together, where we're not run by demons and Satanists and pedophiles, right? I mean,
amen.
You know, let's start there.
couldn't go lower than that.
Right.
So like, that's a good starting point.
Let's make sure the pedophiles aren't in charge and then we can build off that. But the thing is, we don't have to actually build with our hands. We don't actually, I mean, everything. We have to use our hands for growing food, etc. But we need to build with our minds. We need to reshape our futures together through our conscious intent and understand our interrelationship with everything around us, from water to other conscious minds, and also the consciousness of animals and the consciousness of plants. And these are things that still Western medicine does not even acknowledge exist. Frankly, the Western system of thought still thinks that consciousness isn't real, that we're not conscious.
Right.
That's incredible.
Or the consciousness, if they acknowledge it at all, is a byproduct of the body or the brain, which is absolutely absurd. There's no evidence for that whatsoever.
Totally absurd.
Proving
that water has consciousness, that xylitol actually has consciousness.
Right. Exactly.
Clearly. Because I can ask xylitol a question, and as it's freezing and forming structure, it will sketch the answer, literally, that you can see with your eyeballs.
In the future.
Yeah, it will see the future and read it and sketch it out today. It's like an etch-a-sketch for the future, you know?
Right, yeah, it's incredible. It really is incredible.
It really is. But think about this. Think about, you know, the plants, the way plants work, too. Think about the nutritional level of plants. So if you grow like a happy garden, they're going to be more nutritious. Then if you have an angry monoculture garden that you're trampling with, you know, tractors and pesticides and everything all day long, that's going to be angry food.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want to give your body angry food. You want to give your body good food that's coherent.
Totally.
You know, it was really cool at Confluence last year. We had Diane Hennessy Powell from Telepathy Tapes, who's been studying various so-called psychic phenomena over the last 20 years, specifically as of late in nonverbal autistic children, as well as Veda Austin, who, you know, I shared some of her work a lot during this, and then Gerald Pollack and others. So we get really, really deep on some of these topics, but it's not that it's deep and not tangible and sort of abstract. It's deep and directly applicable to your life. And we cover a lot of farming related topics. We're on a regenerative farm during the event. And my event co-producer, Molly Englehart, is a regenerative farmer herself, and she speaks every year. And so we cover a lot of both practical hands-on solutions, but also solutions in terms of consciousness and spirituality, if you will.
Oh yeah. That sounds like a great combination. I'm really excited to learn more about that. Perhaps I'll join you one of these years at the event, since it's, I mean, it's not that far away, you know, physically, because we're both in Texas.
It'd be awesome to have you. It'd be really, really great to have you.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic. We'll talk about that more off camera. All right, so wrapping up, this is part two of our interview. We're just about out of time. I want to thank you for your time, but is there anything else you want to leave our audience with?
I think the last thing I'll say is, when it comes to anything that you're engaging with, what you're consuming at this point, especially when you're learning this knowledge, the question to sort of ask yourself and sort of pause before you engage with any of it is this going to lead to me becoming more coherent and thus the world becoming more coherent? Or is this going to lead to me becoming more chaotic and the world becoming more chaotic? Am I adding to coherence? Am I helping to build God's kingdom on earth? Or am I helping, whether unwittingly or wittingly, the satanic agenda in the process by what I'm engaging with and what I'm co-creating? So
yep.
I think it's so important. And like, I think a lot of people have adopted this belief, I'm just one person, what can I do? You can do so much more than you've ever been led to believe. One coherent person can have a dramatic impact on everyone around them just by virtue of their very beingness.
And, you know, let me add too, I believe that what Israel did to Gaza was a giant satanic ritual.
Amen.
To terrorize the world. And they needed death and suffering. They intentionally bombed women and children. They shot doctors with sniper rifles. They launched missiles at food aid workers, precisely because they needed the energetic noise to be broadcast across the world to prevent people from discovering the things that you and I are talking about here.
Amen. And really, they wanted people to see it. I don't think they wanted people to see it ultimately. And there's a lot of indication that for the more Talmudic people who are, again, like, I'm not of the mindset that like all Jews are in on it. I think that's absolutely absurd. But the more Talmudic believing Jewish people might want to bring about their Messiah. And what they talk about is that all the nations will turn against Israel in the end times before their Messiah comes. So I think there's a strong indication that they wanted the people of the world to see this, so all the nations turn against them.
Right.
In order to bring forth their Messiah.
Apocalypse accelerationist kind of approach, which is very, very satanic and destructive. So yep. I'm an accelerationist of human abundance and peace and joy.
Amen.
And knowledge. But we have to actively choose that future. And folks watching this, you're not going to get that future by going along with the status quo or being obedient to the system that wants you to die. You're going to have to say no to that system and listen to people like Alec and myself and others in this space. It's the only way we're going to find freedom and build a greater reality together. So Alec, I want to thank you so much for your time today. It's been a real pleasure speaking with you.
It's been awesome, Mike. Thank you so much for having me.
We've got so much more to do. I'll tell you what, I'm going to invite you to visit us and view our laboratory with the microscopy, but give me some time. I'm going to start some new xylitol samples with some new prompts. And then when those are fully assessed, then I'll invite you up and we can look at them together. How's that sound?
That would be incredible. And then we'll come in my studio and record a podcast about it.
Okay. That sounds awesome. Let's do that. Thank you so much, Alec. It's been a pleasure speaking with you today. Enjoy the rest of your day. And for all of you watching, visit Alec's website, which is thewayforward.com, but forward is just shortened to FWRD. So thewayfwrd.com. And then the event, again, is at confluenceevent.com, spelled just like it sounds. And if you want to catch part one of this interview, check out my website, brightvideos.com. And there you can also catch other interesting interviews and commentary. So thank you so much, Alec. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Mike.
All right. Take care, everybody. Thanks for watching today. Bless you all. We'll talk again soon. Yes, the world is getting crazy, but here at the Health Ranger store, we're putting together a survival supply assortment for you. If you go to healthrangerstore.com/survival, you'll see what we put together for you, including iodine and iosat. That's a specific brand name of potassium iodide that's FDA approved. Or we have the nascent iodine here, which is less expensive in terms of the iodine that you get. These are available in case things go nuclear. It's clear that you will not be able to find any of this for sale anywhere. All the inventories will be wiped out, like what happened after Fukushima in 2011. So if you want to get your hands on some iodine, this is a chance to get it right now. healthrangerstore.com/survival. In addition, we have many other survival items for you here, including some silver solutions, some spirulina available in bulk and at a discount. And then a large assortment of storable organic food that's laboratory tested, including our Ranger Bucket sets. Here's a 195-day supply. We've got the mini buckets, and we've also got number 10 cans available of freeze-dried fruits and vegetables and other things like miso soup powder. Here's some of the buckets. There's a big variety available. Here are some of the number 10 cans right here. Remember, a lot of people are missing fruit. They don't have enough vitamin C in their storable food. So, you know, getting bananas and pineapples and strawberries, especially, again, certified organic, freeze-dried. That is the highest quality with the highest nutrient preservation that you can get in any kind of a storable food format. All of this is available right now and so much more. Just go to healthrangerstore.com/survival. And because the freeze-dried foods last for so long, you know, even if you don't eat them this year or next year, just keep them on the shelf. They're going to last a very long time with good preservation, a long shelf life, and they will have value no matter what happens in the world. Now, of course, I'm praying for peace. I'm praying for de-escalation. I don't want to see World War III break out, and I certainly don't want it to go nuclear. But we're dealing with insane times and insane leaders and insane situations. Who knows what could happen tomorrow or next week? Disruptions could happen here in the United States. There could be, you know, domestic attacks that disrupt supply chains here in the U.S. So stock up early, stock up now, get your emergency food, emergency medicine, iodine, anything else that you think that you might need. Get it now. And by doing so, by shopping with us, you'll be supporting our platforms and our AI engines that we offer for free. That's funded in part by sales from our store. So shop with us at healthrangerstore.com/survival and help yourself get prepared and also help us bring you more free tools and platforms that can keep you informed no matter what happens in the world. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Thank you for your support. God bless you all. Take care.